We're holding Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, about halfway down the narrow lines. There's two lines that begin Bimei Evloi. We're holding on the second one of them. We were talking about the question of to what extent did the dinim of Avelos apply on Shabbos. We said there was machlokas between Bnei Yehuda and Bnei Golil about when our Mishnah says Shabbos Ola Ve'enim Mafsekes, that Shabbos counts towards the 7 days of Shiva, but it doesn't interrupt them. So what is it? Is it that on Shabbos the dinim of Avelos still apply? And in that sense, we're saying that it's Ola, that it counts as one of the 7 days because you are keeping the dinim of Avelos then. Or is it that Avelos is suspended for Shabbos? But in that sense, Einam Afsekis, though, we're saying that nevertheless, that doesn't interrupt the Shiva. It's still, the Shiva continues after Shabbos. So we discussed that point, and we discussed also about various aspects of Avelos. What might apply, if we say that Avelos does apply on Shabbos, what aspect might apply? Specifically, there's something called Dvarim Shebetzina, those things that are in private. So we said, for example, we said that there would be a machlokas about Tashmish Amita. There's machlokas for Chachamim and Ram Gamliel, whether an Ovel, who after all, one of the mitzvahs that he has is the mitzvah of Oina, to have relations with his wife at certain regular intervals, as we'll learn about eventually in the Sefer Ksuvos, Bezras Hashem. And for many people, including Shmita Chachamim, it's Friday night, so can he do that? So the Tanakhama, so we said that the on the face of it, we said the Tanakhama had said that, so we said that the Tanakhama holds that Tashmi Shamita is mutter to them, and Ram Gamliel said is osur. And we said though that maybe though there's a difference between that and Aninus, but okay, the point is that we said that, that Dvarim Shebetzina do apply on Shabbos. So now let's talk more about that. Amar Shmuel, so Shmuel says when it comes to the details of Avelos that apply on Shabbos, there are three things which we said an oval has to do during the week, which on Shabbos it's a choiva, it's an obligation for him to stop doing them on Shabbos, which we'll list them. Nasar Rishus. On the other hand, three things, where the acronym for them is Nasar, and we're going to define what these acronyms mean in a second. Those things is Rishus. If he wants to continue doing them or not doing them on Shabbos, then that's up to him. The three that are, the acronym is Pachaz, Priyas HaRosh, number one, uncovering his head. In other words, we learned before a few times in the parak that an oval is supposed to be about tifas haroish. He wraps up his head, as we're going to talk about the details of it again soon in the Gemara. So he wraps up his head. He keeps his head covered to a certain extent. So on Shabbos, he's not supposed to do that. That's the first one. The ches is chazoras keralach chodov, turning the torn side of the garment to his back, meaning, in other words, normally a person would change clothes for Shabbos. But let's say he doesn't have another outfit to change into. So on Shabbos, he's not supposed to be wearing the one with the tear on it in full view, because that would be berabim, that would be pahesia, and you don't do avelos for pahesia on Shabbos. Therefore, if he doesn't have anything else to change into, he would have to turn around the clothing so that the torn side is on the back. You have to remember, clothing then wasn't like it is now, where you have, you know, there's a defined front side and defined back side. Their clothing was more, were like tunics and wraps and things like that, where you could turn them around and wear them backwards if necessary. So that's the ches. And zkipa samita, and turning the bed right side up, which again we've learned before that the oval turns his bed over and sleeps on the side with the ropes instead of the side with the mattress. So that he has to undo that. He has to set it back upright before Shabbos. So all of those things are choiva. Shmuel saying all those things he's required to do. He cannot keep his head wrapped up or wear the torn garment with the tear on the front, or have his bed overturned on Shabbos, because all of those are publicly very obvious things that he's doing because of Avelos. On the other hand, the three that he said, Neser Rishus, Ne'ilas HaSandal, wearing leather shoes. So not everybody anyway always wears leather shoes. Some people go barefoot, or wear slippers or socks or whatever. So that if he doesn't want to wear those on Shabbos, he's not required to. Tashmish Amita, to not have relations, which again, we said before, we said at the top of the Omer, we learned yesterday that Shmuel had said that, well, we said we quoted something that said, I'm shamish, we tossed it in the air, chayiv misa, and we said that's Rabbi Yochanan says that. Shmuel says, ein avelus per Shabbos, in other words, that even tashmish amitah would be mutter, but Shmuel is saying a person doesn't want to on the Shabbos of Shiva, then he's not required to. And the third one is, rechitzas yadayim raglayim b'chamin arvis, and to wash his face and hands and feet with hot water in the evening before Shabbos begins. All of those things are reshus. All of those things, Shmuel is saying, is optional. If he doesn't want to do them on the Shabbos of the Avelos, of Shiva, then he's not required to, because all of those things, it's not so obvious that he's doing them as a matter of Avelos. The Rav Omer ach priyas haroish reshus. Rav says, of the first list that Shmuel gave, the Pachaz list, actually, Priyas Harosh is also Rishus. He can keep his head covered, he can keep his head wrapped up during the Shabbos of Shiva if he wants. So the Gemara says, Shmuel, my shnone ilus asando de Rishus. Now, why is it Shmuel is saying? Now, according to Rav, then we understand. Both Priyas Harosh and the ilus asando, fine. Some people keep their heads covered all the time. Some people wear shoes all the time. Other people don't. So therefore, Rav is being consistent and saying neither of those, you could do those things or not do those things on Shabbos as you see fit. But according to Shmuel, why is there the distinction? Maishan on the ilas sandal the rishus. Why is it when it comes to wearing leather shoes, it's a rishus? The lav pula alma avidi the simin sanayu. Fine. The reason evident is because not everybody wears leather shoes all the time. If a person is not wearing leather shoes, it's not so obvious that he's doing it as an expression of avedus. He might just be doing it because he doesn't want to wear his shoes. Well, then priyas harosh nami lav pula alma avidi the maglulish. Well, not necessarily does everybody keep their heads uncovered. Many people cover their heads with a wrapping. So why would Shmuel say that you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos and you daft have to take off the wrap? The answer is Shmuel l'taimei. The answer is that Shmuel is going according to his shitta, the Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel says two dinim as far as how an oval dresses. Number one, kol kera she'ena b'shas chimum ene kera. Anytime a person rips his clothes and he does not do it at the time of chimum, at the time, chimum means heat. So in other words, when his emotions are raw, when his emotions are very heated up, you have in many places in Tanakh, it uses an expression of heat in connection with strong emotions, because like they feel very, he has a very warm, a very, very hot feeling of emotion. So when the person is in shas chimum, that's when he's supposed to tear, says Shmuel. If he doesn't tear his clothes at that time, that's not shas chimum, ene kera, then it's not considered a valid tear as far as the dinner, as far as the mitzvah of kriya. Even if he feels it later on, so we're going to talk about later on, we're going to talk about some details about that soon, but right now, Shmuel is saying, in other words, Rashi says at the time of the beginning of the tzar, when the person first passes away, or when he gets news that the person passed away, that's the shas chimum, but not after that. And what's relevant to our sugya, b'chol atifa she'ena katifa yishmeilim ena atifa. Anytime a person wraps up his head as an oval and he doesn't do it the way the yishmeilim do, which we're going to define in a second what that is. If he doesn't do it like atifa yishmeilim ena atifa, then it's not a valid atifa. So now during the week, a person doesn't walk around wrapped up like the yishmeilim do. If he lives among the yishmeilim, maybe, but otherwise, if he lives anywhere else, then he doesn't. So therefore, if he were to walk around with his head wrapped up like that, then it would be an obvious public sign of Avelus, and he's not allowed to do that on Shabbos, because like Shmuel said before, ain't Avelus for Shabbos. Whereas Rav disagrees, what, apparently.
What do you call the, when he gets to, when the tsar begins, it's called, what is it?
It's called Shas Chimum. It's called the time of the heat, the time when his emotions are stirred, are stirred very, very warmly, very hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's when he has to do Kriya.
So nowadays, the minhag is that we do, nowadays, the general minhag is that we do Kriya at the, right before, at the time of the Levaya, then the Chevra Kaddisha goes and helps the person and he does Kriya. That's also considered Shas Chimum. So it doesn't necessarily have to be the moment the person passes away, just when the emotions are still very warm. And in other words, as opposed to, let's say, you know, just sometime later during the Shiva or whatever. Anyway, so Shmuel is saying, b'chol atifa she'ena katifas yishmeilim, if you don't wrap up your head like the way the yishmeilim do, ain't atifa, it's not called a valid atifa. Now, what is that atifas yishmeilim? Machbir Rab Nachman ad goyve yedikna. Rab Nachman demonstrated that it means that you wrap up until the hollows of the beard. So Rashi explains, gumas shabalechi shalamatamipiv, the hollows in a person's jaws below the beard. Some of those we're talking about like the cheeks. Some of the mafoshim say that it means more, that specifically they define it as it means the area where the beard covers the cheeks. Now, there's two ways of explaining that. One is that it means that the person covers from the top of his head downward. In other words, he covers his eyes and his nose and down to his cheeks. And after all, the idea would be, why would the Shema'ilim do that? The reason is, I mean, they live in deserts, it's very sandy over there, so therefore they would want to cover their faces, not obviously they have to be able to see where they're going, but in other words, they have something hanging in front of their faces so that sand doesn't get into their eyes. The other way of understanding it is, that the person wraps up and covers with the edge of his talus or the edge of his cloak or whatever, he covers his chin and his mouth and his cheeks. So that would be Katifas Yishmael.
But not his eyes?
But not, according to that, it would be not his eyes. So an interesting point actually is that, so one second. So first let's finish the discussion over here. The point is, in other words, that Rab apparently disagrees with that. So Rab would say, as long as he covers his head in some way, then it's considered atifa. Doesn't have to be katifa seishmeidim. So therefore, Rab will say, so therefore on Shabbos you're allowed to do that as well. It's not an obvious public sign of avedus. Whereas Shmuel is going to say it is an ein avedus for Shabbos, at least not in things that are for hesed. Now, first of all, nowadays, as we talked about before, the avedim don't do atifa in this full sense. And Tosfos discusses elsewhere in the parak, that the reason is because we live among the goyim, and we have some of us have goyish servants and maid servants and whatever, and they're going to see that it's going to look very ridiculous to them, and it's going to be a total bizarion in their presence. So therefore, the minag eventually developed not to. There were the Taimonim still had the minag until contemporary times to do that. I don't know if they still do that nowadays. There are poskim who say, though, that at least what a person should do, what the oval should do, is maybe, okay, he'll wear his hat with the brim turned down in front of his face a little more than usual. At least that way, he's makayim atifa in that sense. Now, an interesting side point with this, by the way, is another place where atifa sishma'ilim comes up in halacha is as far as putting on a talus. And an interesting point is b'chal. So how are you supposed to wear a talus? So the Rishonim actually discussed the question. The interesting point is that in the times of the Gemara, a talus was part of their normal articles of clothing. So the only thing is, a talus for a mitzvah means, in other words, that it has four square corners and you put tzitzis on it. In later times, and once Jews started moving into other countries, into Europe and North Africa and whatever, they didn't necessarily dress the same way. So therefore, a talus became something that you wear aside from your regular clothing. And the question became how you're supposed to wear the talus in order to be yotzei the mitzvah. So actually, what the Rishonim had to do is they had to deduce it from the fact that the bracha on the talus is lahisatif betzitzis, and therefore that means that you need ituf. Our Gemara is saying over here that at least according to Shmuel, the definition of ituf is katifa seishmeilim. The result of that is where we get when we put on a talus, why we wrap it around our heads and we wrap it one side over our shoulder in order to do like the way the Yishmeilim do, because we see from our Gemara over here that that's what's considered atifa. So now, within that, now you have the question. Again, we're saying over here that it means to cover up, to cover down to the cheeks. So what does that mean? Again, you have the same argument. Does it mean that the talus has to cover the entire face down to your cheeks? Or does it mean the other way around? The bottom edge of it covers your mouth and your cheeks. So in the Siddur, the Alter Rebbe wrote that you should have, the talus should cover your whole face. But our minhag, and this is how it's brought in Hayom Yom, in a footnote in the Siddur over there, is that we just cover our eyes with the talus when we're putting it on, but what we're doing as far as covering the cheeks, like we're saying over here, the lower edge of the talus takes care of that.
But it's funny, they also claim, if I say Shmaelim, and they cover their entire face. How come we do differently then?
That's what I'm saying. There's two different understandings among the poskim. What it means to cover all the way to the cheeks. Does it mean from the top down, or does it mean from the bottom up? So that's what I'm saying. If you look in the Siddur, you'll find there. If you look over there in the Siddur, when it talks about the dinim of putting on the talus, you'll see that the Alter Rebbe writes over there that you cover your head. So in the Siddur itself, actually, what he says is the ein sorech lachasis roshei ad piv. You do not have to cover your head all the way down to your mouth. And in the footnote, it says that all minhag is you cover the eyes. So in other words, the Alter Rebbe held, according to the opinion, that when you're saying that you need to cover the katif as eish meivim, means the bottom half of the face. So fine, when you're putting on the talus, you're covering the bottom half of the face. And like you were saying, sardim, and then some other poskim, some other rishonim and achronim, learn that it means the top half, down to the cheeks. Yeah. Different understanding, so therefore different minhag. Okay, anyway, the bottom line is, returning to our Gemara, the point is, that again, Shmuel holds, this is not the kind of way that a person would usually dress in public when he's not in Avelos. So if he does that on Shabbos, then it's public Avelos and he can't do that. And Rav says you don't need that kind of activity anyway, and therefore it's not an issue. Fine. So now, Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yechanan, lo shonu elo she'im lemin olim beraglav. Now this that we're saying, that according to Shmuel, a person has to not cover his head, not have his head wrapped up on Shabbos, because again, that would be avedus papasia. Lo shonu el hashem lemin olim beragel. That applies only when he's not wearing leather shoes on his feet. Avol yesh lemin olim beragel. But on the contrary, if he's wearing leather shoes on his feet, min olav mechichin olav, then the fact that he's wearing leather shoes demonstrates that he's not doing avedus on Shabbos. So therefore, even if he continues to cover his head like atifas eshmeilim, then there's no big deal because the fact that he's wearing leather shoes makes it obvious that he's not doing the dinim of avedus on Shabbos.
Why is he covering his head? What's he got to gain? Right,
what has he got to gain? He wants to. Let's say he's okay, but let's say, for example, for whatever reason, he wants to continue covering his head. So we're saying that if he's wearing leather shoes, then he's allowed to. Tosfos points out, I mean, so why don't we say the same thing as one of the other ones? If he's not wearing a torn garment, then it means that he's not showing avelus on Shabbos. Okay, Tosfos says maybe shoes are much more noticeable than anything else, and therefore with that, will allow him to continue covering. Shmuel will allow him to continue covering his head. Okay. Now, going back to, we said Shmuel's first din was kol kera she'ena b'shaschimum ene kera, that we said that if a person rips his clothes for kriya, not at the time of chimum, not when his emotions are stirred, or not when his emotions are running very hot, ene kera, so we said it's not called a valid kera, it's not called a valid kriya. So the question is that really so? Don't we find that they told Shmuel that Rav had passed away, and obviously by the time they told him, it was long after it had happened, and Korale Treser money, or Treser, it says on the side over here, he ripped 12 or 13 garments as avelus for Rav. Omar, and he said, Ozo Gavra to have a Mr. Pina Mine. The man whom I was afraid of is now gone. What do we mean afraid of? Rashi says, because he used to always ask me questions in Torah, and I was always afraid that I might not be able to answer them. The Tosfos HaRosh actually says that what it means is beyond that. It brings from the Raivim, that it means that Shmuel was saying, as long as Rav was alive, whenever I said a din in Torah, I always had to be careful. I know that Rav could question it, and therefore I would have to make sure that I really know what I'm talking about. Now that he's gone, I'm afraid that I might not, I don't have that same fear anymore. I might say a halacha and not thoroughly check it, and I might be machshava sarabu. So now, in token of that, then he tore all his clothes in mourning for Rav. And we see that wasn't shas chimum, and yet he tore. And similarly, similarly, when they told Rabbi Yechanan that Rabbi Chanina had passed away, also kara le tleis itzle milsa, he whipped. For the fact that Rav Chanina had passed away, he whipped 13 garments made out of milsa, which is high quality wool or silk or something, meaning very expensive clothing, but he tore all of them as an expression of grief. And Omar, he said the same thing. Also Gavra, Dava, Mr. Pinamine, the man whom I feared because of his questions and because he would keep me on the straight path in halacha, is gone. So we see that they tore even Shaloi B'Shaschimun. The answer is shiny rabbanon. It's different when it comes to the Tamar Chachamim. The kiven the kol shaita matri shmatayu, because the Tamar Chachamim are always mentioning teachings in Torah that they learned from their rabbeim. Therefore, kishas chimum dami. So any time, or in this case, the rabbeim or the chaverim. So therefore, it's always considered shas chimum. one, the next time that Shmuel is learning something in Torah and mentioning something that Rav says, it's going to stir his emotion that Rav is gone and now I don't have anybody to check against to make sure that my statements in halacha are correct. So therefore, even later on, it can still be considered shas timon. But for a regular person, where you don't have that, then it has to definitely be shas timon. So they heard it after a time. So we said, if it was within 30 days, they have to do, well, so no. One second. Here it's not a matter of Shmuel Kroiva or Shmuel Rechoika, because Shmuel is not a relative of Rav, and he's not a Talmud of Rav. Rav Yochanan is not a Talmud of Rav Hanin. So therefore, it's not like they're sitting, it's not like they have to sit Shiva and Shloshim for them. Maximum they have to do is they're tearing Kriya and showing a certain degree of Avedos because this person taught them Torah. You have, in fact, at the end of Eilam Tzias, it tells how, for example, it says that Rava tore Kriya when, for example, there was a Talmud Chacham who had once explained to him the meaning of a certain word, of a certain utensil mentioned in Mishnah's Kalim, and this guy explained it to him, and therefore Rava tore Kriya when this guy passed away. But, therefore it's no difference, Shmur Kroiva or Shmur Rechoika, it doesn't matter whether it's within 30 days or not. So technically they're not obligated, but they're doing it as an expression of grief for you. So the point is, but since the Tzemet HaChamim, we can always consider it Shas Chivam as opposed to with a regular person. Okay. Further, we've mentioned before about Chazoras Kerel Achorav. We said that a person turns around the ripped side of the garment toward the back. So in this connection, Amalei Ravin Ba'odel Ba'Rava, Omar Talmud Rav Amram, so Rav Ba'oda tells Rava, you should know that your Talmud, Rav Amram, has said the following din. Tanya, that we learn in a Blaisa, although called Shiva Kore Lefonov, throughout all the 7 days of Shiva, the ripped side of the clothing has to be on the front side. The Imbala Hachlet Machlet Kodea, and if the Oval changes his clothes anytime during Shiva, then he has to tear the new clothing that he's wearing as well. The Shabbos Kore Lachorov, on Shabbos, the ripped side is on the back. The imbola haflif machlif the enikareya. And if he wants to change his clothes, then he can change his clothes on Shabbos, and he doesn't have to tear those. He doesn't have to tear those clothes that he's wearing for Shabbos. Now the problem with that is that we're saying that. So what did we say? We said that during the week of Shiva, if he changes his clothes, he has to tear it. Now how does that fit? That's not shas chimum. During the rest of the week of Shiva is not shas chimum, and yet we're saying that he has to tear his clothes. So what does that mean? So the answer is Kitanya Hibhvoid Ovi. The answer is that's talking specifically where it's covered for his father or his mother. So in other words, when we say that there's no kriya only Bashas Chimum, that's talking about the other kind of relatives or the other people that a person would tear kriya for. But when it comes to a person's parents, any time during the Shiva, they would have to tear because then they're Yotz of the Mitzvah Kriya with that. That they have to do Bashas Chimum. But rather because it doesn't look right that during the Shiva they should be appearing in a non-torn garment, covered of their parents. It requires that during the entire Shiva they're visibly wearing a torn garment. Next, the question is, Oisen Kroy Misachin or Einan Misachin? Now, we mentioned before various cases where a person has to tear kriya. So now we just said, for example, that during Shiva, let's say a person would have to tear another garment if he changes into it. So those kroim, those tears, misachin or emisachin, can he eventually, after Shiva or after Shloshim or whatever, can he sew them up permanently or not? So pligiba avor de Rav Oshia bar kapara. So the father of Rav Oshia and bar kapara argue about that. Chad oma emisachin v'chad oma misachin. One says that you can never sew them up. So in other words, again, we're talking about, let's say, a person tore in the middle of Shiva for his parents, or we also had, for example, we had cases previously on Chof Beis and Beis. We had, for example, when the Nasi passes away, when the Chacham passes away, etc. So all those ones, so one opinion is, Ein Masachin, you can never sew them up permanently. V'chadam Masachin, and the other opinion is that you could.
What is this
Ichui? Ichui means professional sewing, where like to a certain extent it may even mean that you can't even tell that it was ever ripped. Or at least, it was a very, very strong, yeah. So now, which one said which? Tisayim davur de Rav Oshia drama in the Sakin. we should be able to conclude that it's the father of Rav Oshia who said that these tears can never be sewn up permanently. Because after all, we find that Rav Oshia said that they can't, himself said that they can't be. Who would he have heard that from? Lav me'avua. Wouldn't it be that he heard from his father? So that would show that his father held a misachin, and he held like that also. Whereas Bakapora said misachin. Someone says loy, not necessarily. Bakapora rabbi shmiele. You could just as well say Rav Oshia was a Talmud of Bakapora. Maybe he learned that din from him. So maybe his own father holds differently, and he and Rav Oshia followed his rebbe's opinion. It's not always done. Not always that I remember b'shem rabbi, but it's okay. Yeah. Omar Rava, so in this connection, Rava says, Ovel Matayo Ba'unkali B'Seich Besei. And Ovel can walk around on Shabbos in his house wearing an unkali. Now, what is an unkali? There's several different opinions among Rishonim what that is. Rashi over here says that it means the shirt that he tore, so he's allowed to walk around in his house wearing that shirt that he tore on Shabbos. Because inside his own house, it's Dvarim Shabbatzina, and we said before that Dvarim Shabbatzina available supplies. So even though, so he wouldn't be able to appear in public with it, but if he wants to at home to wear the torn garment, then he would be allowed to. A different explanation that a number of Rishonim say is that an unkali is a turban or something like that a person wears on his head. So according to that, it goes back to what we were talking about before, that a person is allowed to do atifas arosh, is allowed to have his head covered in a form of avelus on Shabbos, because we said that some people wear that during the week as well. So here it would be a similar kind of thing that a person is allowed to wear that in his house on Shabbos. And then a third explanation is that an unkali is literally, many times, an unkali means a hook. So it means, in other words, something that the person will be wearing, similar to what Rashi is saying over here, that he's wearing the torn garment, but he would use a hook to keep the two torn ends together so it doesn't look as torn. So therefore, according to that, it would mean on Shabbos, he can do that. Instead of turning the torn side to the back, he could use an unkali to hold the two sides together. So there's those, and there's various other explanations as well. So the Gemara tells Abaya Ashkechel Rabbi Yosef to Paris by Sudra Al Reshe. Abaya one time found Rabbi Yosef during Shiva that he had a sudr placed on his head as a matter of atifa Sarosh. But also for Osi Bebeisa, and Rabbi Yosef was walking back and forth in his house. Omalei, so Abaye tells him, Lav Sovel Omar ain't Avelus for Shabbos. Rebbe, don't you hold that there's no Avelus on Shabbos? So how are you walking around with a sudder on your head, which is not the normal thing? Omalei, he says, Hochi Amar Rabbi Yechon, and Dvonim Shabbatzina Noyeg, as we said before, that things that are in private are Noyeg on Shabbos, and this is in private because it's in my house, so therefore I can do that. Now Tosfos discusses, now we had before, we did have Rav and Shmuel saying that you are allowed certain Dvarim Shabbatzina on Shabbos. For example, we said that Shmuel said you're allowed to do Tashmish Shemitah on Shabbos. Here we have Rabbi Yochanan going against them. Now, we've learned several times already in the Perek that Halacha Kedivra HaMeiko Be'evil, that when it comes to Dinim Avavelos, you go according to the opinion that's more lenient. So what do we do over here? Tosfos brings from Halachas Gedolos that no, over here actually we follow Rabbi Yochanan. First of all, because we see that Abaye and Rava hold like him, we see Abaye in our Gemara, Rava in a different Gemara in Ksuvus. What about this business of Halacha Kedivra HaMeiko Be'evil? That's when you have, Tosfos says, that's when you have a Machlokas Tanoim. A Machlokas Amoraim is something else. Then we don't necessarily say Halacha Kedivra HaMeiko Be'evil. So the bottom line is things that are betzina are noyig, including in particular, therefore, for example, an oval is also in Tashmish Amita. Now, an interesting also one that it says in Shulchan Aruch is by the same token, learning Torah during Shabbos of the Avelos, except for the parts that an oval is not allowed to learn, would also be considered Dvarim Shabbatzina, and therefore an oval is not allowed to do them on Shabbos. With the exception, it says Shnai Mikra Ve'echad Targum, because that's a requirement of the Halacha, therefore he's allowed to do that on the Shabbos of the Avelos. So if he normally gives a shiur, that's a little bit different, but It does say in Shulchan Aruch that if, for example, if the Ovel is in Shul on Shabbos, and they call him up to the Torah, then he has to take the Aliyah. And the same way, if he's the only Kohen in Shul, he has to be given the Aliyah, because otherwise it would be Boron Shiva Pahesia, otherwise it would make a public spectacle of Avedis. As far as a shiur, I'm not sure, because sometimes it happens. A person doesn't give a shiur for whatever reason or other. But for example, it mentions in Shulchan Aruch, Rabbeinu Tam used to always be given shlishi in his shul every Shabbos. So during the Shabbos of his Avedos, he said, you have to also continue to do that. Otherwise, if you don't, then it's Dvarim Shepetesia.
Which ones are we machmir on? The Amoraim, the Machlokas Amoraim, or Tanaim?
Well, that's supposed to say that when we say halacha kedibur amekel be'evil, means when you have a Machlokas Tanoim, then we go according to the more lenient opinion in dinim of avelos. But when it comes to a Machlokas Amoraim, like here Rav and Shmuel against Rabbi Yechana, then not necessarily. Then we may go according to the more to the stricter opinion, and that's what we do over here, because we do say that dvarim shebetzina do apply.
That's just in avelos, or it's a general klal?
No, in general, we have other rules. In general, for example, we have a rule that when Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan are arguing, the halacha is usually like Rabbi Yechanan anyway. But here, when it comes to Avelos, we have a special rule. Halacha kedivrei amekel be'evil, but Tosfos is saying that rule only applies to a machlokas tanoim. It does not necessarily apply to a machlokas amiroi. So if they got an aliyah, obviously they can read it. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, now we talked about in the Mishnah that a regel cancels shiva or cancels shloshim respectively. So now, on the other hand, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer says that when the Beis Mikdash was standing and he brought korbanos on Shavuos and it had Yemei Tashlumin, then yes, Shavuos counts as then Shavuos breaks off shiva or breaks off shloshim, as the case may be. But now, after the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, Rabbi Eliezer says Shavuos is like Shabbos; it's only a one-day yomtiv, and there's no korbanos and there's no tashlumin. Therefore, it counts as only as if it was Shabbos. So we're going to have the whole machlokas that we just had about dvarim shebetzina, whether they're noyeg or not. But either way, the avelus continues after Shavuos. And then we had, on the other hand, Rabbi Gamliel had said Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are considered like regalim, and therefore they also cancel shiva and shloshim. And then we had the opinion of the Chachamim, who take a middle ground. They say Atzeres it Shavuos is like any other yomtov; it cancels them, but Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur no. So Amar of Gidu Bamanashi Amar Shmuel Halacha Kedivrei Gamliel. The halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel again. Halacha Kedivrei Amekel Be'evil. So therefore, all the Shalosh Regalim, as well as Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, are all going to cancel Shiva or Shloshim, respectively. We'll talk about the details of how that works more on Amud Beis. One thing is, the Ritva points out that at least Shavuos, we can understand that had Shiva Yimei Tashlumin, why would Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur count as each of 7 days? They are, after all, a one-day Yom Tov. And he says, because you have a concept, Ukshu, Kolamoy, Deselazer, there's a certain hekesh between all the Yom Tovim. They're all listed in one section in the Torah, back to back, in Parashas Emor, and therefore what applies to one applies to all of them. So if some of them are accounted for 7 days, then the halacha is going to be that all of them. Okay, the Gemara continues, now on the other hand, there are those who learn that this statement of Rabbi Gidol Bamanashia, that the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, is referring to a different statement of Rabbi Gamliel. Namely, a braisa says, Kol lamed yoim, when a baby passes away, Rahman al-Aflan, less than 3 days old, tinek yotze b'cheik, at that point when a baby is being buried who's less than 30 days old, they don't carry him in an oroin, they carry him b'cheik, they carry him in their arms. And literally b'cheik means in the bosom, like so somebody carries the baby that way without an oroin. V'nikva b'isha achas u'shnei anoshim, you don't need a whole levaya. All you need is you can have one woman and two men. The reason why you need two men is in order to avoid the problem of yichud. If you have one man and one woman, then you're going to have a problem of yichud. So like this, you need at least two men.
Even a
levaya, right. But you cannot have one man and two women because that would still be a problem of yichud. You have the concept the Gemara talks about in Kiddushin, noshin bait and talis, and therefore he might actually be able to seduce both of them. On the other hand, continues the braisa. Abba Shol says that you're even allowed to have one man and two women. He doesn't figure that at that time. He figures at a time of Avelos, nobody's going to have the mind. Nobody's going to have any mind for Znus, and therefore there's no problem with the Chachamim disagree. And the Braisa continues, but ain umdin olav bashura. You do not stand in a shura like this. Usually after the levaya, you have the menachemim stand over there in a line, and the oval passes between them, and they say I'm welcome menachem estem. So for a baby less than 30 days old, you don't do that. The ain umdin olav dirkas abelim v'tanchumei abelim. You don't say the bracha that you say for Avelim, which we talked about it briefly in Megillah, that they had. There was a they would have the Suda Savra, they would have the first meal after the Levaya, they would have in the city square, and they would say a special bracha over there that Hashem should be Menachem Avelim. So you don't do that for a baby that young. V'tanchumei Avelim, and you don't sit Shiva and go be Menachem Ovol, the parents for a baby that young. And basically the reason is because Tosfos brings from Rashi, which is in Rashi Ksav Yad, that we're talking about where the baby was born, where we don't know if the baby was born full term. So therefore, so you don't know. The baby might have been premature, and in that case, he's considered a nafel, he's considered a halacha stool. Tosfos says that no, even if we know for a fact that the baby was born full term, so still, fine, they would sit shiva for him, but we're not going to go so far as to say that that you go say Birkas Avelim and so forth, and that people come to be Menachem. Okay. Continues the Braisa. Then Shloshim, once the baby is 30 days old or older, Yotzim v'dluskema, at that point you do have to take him out to be buried in the dluskema, which is an aura, in a box. Although the Ran has a different explanation on it, he says that it means like a wide board. So you're not carrying him in your arms anymore. Instead, you're carrying him on a board or in a box. So and Rabbi Yehuda says, Lloyd Luskman, tell us because it. We're not talking about a tiny little box that you could just carry on your shoulder. Elani, tell us. Rather, we're talking about a larger box that it needs two people to carry the two ends. That's derech kavod. It's more of a kavod dick that you don't just have one person carrying it, but you have one person carrying each end. And for Oymden Olav Bashura, once the baby is that old, 30 days old or more, then you do stand in the Shura and say, I'm welcome, Yenachem Eschem, as the Avelim are passing through. For Oymden Olav Birkas Avelim and Tanchumei Avelim, you do say the Bracha for Avelim, and you do say Tanchumei Avelim, because then they are actually sitting Shiva for him. Then Yudbeis Chodesh, Yotze B'mita, once the baby is 12 months old or older, then instead of putting him in a box, then instead they carry him on a mitta, on a bier, like they do with anybody older. Then they do a regular kind of levaya, carrying the body on a mitta, and then bringing it to the Beis HaKvaros. Rabbi Akiva says, it's not a blanket statement that every 1 year old baby do you do that. Rabbi Akiva, who ben shana ve'evorav kiben shtayim, only if the baby is a year old, but he's bigger than normal, so therefore he looks like a 2 year old, he has larger than normal limbs, or who ben shtayim ve'evorav kiben shana, or if he's at least 2 years old, then even if he's underdeveloped and he looks like a 1 year old, then you would carry him out in a mitta, yotzev a mitta, then you would carry him out in a mitta, but if he's only a year old, and he looks like a 1 year old, because he's not larger than normal, then you would still, Rabbi Akiva says, then you could still carry him out in a dluskema, in a box. Continues the Braisa, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Nikar l'Rabim, if this baby was already known to the Rabim, so Rashi explains, in other words, he's old enough to regularly be going out of the house, so therefore people are familiar with this baby, with this little kid. There's different other explanations, one of them being that it means that if he regularly goes to shul, anyway, then Rabim, then the Rabim are involved with him, and they go to the Levaya, and so forth. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, if he's not yet Nikar l'Rabim, if he's still a little kid, and he didn't usually leave the house, or he didn't usually go to shul, or whatever, Ein Rabim misaskin imo, then the Rabim don't have to get involved, then his family buries him privately, and they don't make a whole Levaya. And then continues the Braisa, Umahin beHesped, what's the rule about a Hesped? How old does a kid have to be before you make a Hesped for him? So the mayor of Hashem, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, the mayor says the name of Rabbi Shmuel, Aniyim b'nei Sholosh, when it's a child of a poor person, then you do it when the child is already 3 years old. Ashinim b'nei Chomish, when it's a child of a rich person, then 5 year old. Why the difference? Rashi says, because poor people, they feel really bad about it. They don't have other kinds of simchas, they're poor. So therefore, the one simcha that they have is their children, and unfortunately, their child passed away. So already, once the kid is 3 years old, then already that's enough of a reason to make a hesped, and that way, at least it helps comfort the parents that other people are joining in their avir. So it makes them feel a little better. Even if they have a lot of other children, pastors, yeah. On the other hand, Ashurim, they have many other simchas anyway, so therefore, so with them, we can wait until the kid is 5 years old. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Shmuel differently, Aniyim b'nei chomesh, Ashurim b'nei shesh. With poor children, when they're 5 years old, when it's rich, then when they're 6 years old. And the Brayis continues, of Nezkenim, Kivnei Aniyim, the children of old people are considered for that purpose, like the children of poor people, because old people, they don't have children, they don't even know if they're gonna have any more children. So therefore, you treat them like the poor, even if they themselves are rich, you treat them like the poor for that purpose, and you make a hesped for their children at a younger age. There is a different explanation also. Some of the Rishonim say that Zkenim over here means Tamid HaChachamim, that you show them more honor and you make a hesped for their children at younger ages. Anyway, so according to the second version, so the first version we had was with Gidu Bamanashi said, the halacha is like Rav Gamliel of our Mishnah, that all the Yom Tovim cancel Shiva or Shloshim respectively. Now in the second version of Gidol is saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda of this long braisa that we just quoted, that with children of poor families, you first make a hesped on them when they're 5, and when they're children from rich families, then you make a hesped first when they're 6. Okay. I mean, these two things obviously don't contradict each other, and the halacha is in fact like both. Okay, now getting back to this matter of a yom tov canceling shiva and shloshim. So how does this work? So the Gemara says, "Dorash Rabbanoni bar Sosim apischa de benesia." Rabbanoni bar Sosim darshin as follows: in front of the door of the nasi in Eretz Yisrael, yom echad lifnei atzeres, that if you have 1 day of shiva before Shavuos, so let's say the burial took place on Erev Shavuos. Va'atz, because we said before, Mikhtas Tein Kolo, so even part of the day counts as the whole thing. Va'atz, and then you have Shavuos itself. Harekana, Ba'asr, so now at that point you have 14 days because the Yom Tov of Shavuos itself counts as 7 days. So in other words, what happens is, we learned previously on Daf Chaf and Chaf Aleph, we had an opinion that said that you need at least 3 days of Shiva before Yom Tov, for Yom Tov to cancel the Shiva. But we said the halacha was not like that. The halacha was afilu yom echad, afilu shah achas. So therefore, so the day before Shavuos counts as 7 days, because at that point Shiva is over. Shavuos itself counts as another 7 days. So therefore, now you're 14 days into Shloshim, and now you only need 16 days after Yom Tov. When you have, in Chutz La'aretz, where we have Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliyos, then the second day counts as one of those days. So then, in other words, you have so there's Erev Shavuos, the 2 days of Shavuos, and then after that, after Yom Tov, you need 15 more days. So the Moses Shomer of Ami Ve'ichbar, Rab Ami heard Rab Anoni Bar Sosin saying this drosha, and he was machbid, he was upset about it. Omar, he says, Otu Digehi, this isn't Rab Anoni Bar Sosin's own chiddush, Rab Elazar Omer Rab Oshien. This comes from Rab Elazar, in the name of Rav Oshia, so therefore he should have said it b'shem Omer. Now, okay, before on Amud Aleph we had, for example, Rav Oshia didn't say in the name of his father or in the name of Bar Kapara. There is actually a sicha where the Rebbe talks about that sometimes you have a halacha or a concept in Torah or whatever that a person has learned and it became like embedded into them, it became part of their metzios, therefore they don't necessarily have to say it b'shem Omer anymore. But here, apparently, Rav Ami knew that Rav Anoni Bar Sosin, that this halacha is not yet like that by Rav Anoni Bar Sosin, so therefore he should be saying it in the name of the Amora that he heard it from.
Anything he said was considered to be said b'shem.
So then, not in Sukkah, but in Yevamos, you have where it says about Rabbi Elazar. Then anything he said, by default, we assume is from a Gech. Remember, we mentioned briefly in Sukkah. I don't know. Okay. Similarly, Dorash Rabbi Yitzchak Nafta Akila Dereish Chavusa. Similarly, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafta Darshin in front of the Kila, which has a few different meanings. It can mean a porch. I mean, an entryway, whatever it is, in front of that, of the Reish Kavusa. So the Nasi is the head of the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael. The Reish Kavusa is the head of the Yidden in Bavel. So the same way as Rabbi Noni Bar Sosin gave this drosha in front of the house of the Nasi, the same way Rabbi Yitzchak Nachta is doing the same thing in Bavel in front of the house of the Reish Kavusa. Same thing. Yom Echad Lifnei Atzeres, when you have one day of Shiva before Shavuos, Atzeres, and then Shavuos itself, Harei Kanaba Azer, then it's 14. Then you have 14 days, and you need only 16 afterwards. Again, Shomer Rav Sheshes Ikbad. Rav Sheshes also heard that and was upset for the same reason as Rami. Omar, he says, Otu Didehi. This isn't his own Chiddush. The Rav Elazar Omar Rav Oshiyahi. This comes from Rav Elazar in the name of Rav Oshia. Namely, so where did Rav Elazar say this in the name of Rav Oshia? The Omar Rav Elazar Omar Rav Oshia. Minayim La'atzeres Shiyesh Tashlumin Kol Shiva. How do we know that Shavuos has Tashlumin for 7 days? In other words, with Pesach and with Sukkot, we know the person couldn't bring his Korbanos. We're going to learn this, we're going to learn this in a couple of weeks. That's Hashem in Chagigah, that if a person couldn't bring his Korbanos on the first day of Yom Tov, then he can bring them throughout the 7 days of Yom Tov, and actually with Sukkot even on Shmini Atzeres as well. But how do we know with Shavuos it's the same thing? Shavuos, after all, is only one day. So how do we know? Shenema b'chagamatzis b'chagashvuos. It mentions in the same breath b'chagamatzis b'chagashvuos and chagasukos. Ma chagamatzis yesh l'tashlumin kol shiva. So just like chagamatzis has tashlumin for the entire 7 days after chagashvuos yesh l'tashlumin kol shiva, the same way so does shvuos. In fact, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah points out. So why don't we say that it has 8 days like sukos? And the answer is to fast. The answer is not to fast, but to fast. The answer is because Shmini is regular with Neatzma. Shmini Atzeres is a Yom Tov of its own, and therefore doesn't. It's not really part of the same Yom Tov. But at least they have 7 days of Tashlumin. This is, by the way, why Minhag Chabad is that you don't say Tachnun during the 6 days after Shavuos, because those are Yemei Tashlumin. Anyway, so we see from that din that Shavuos has days of Tashlumin. And therefore we know that the same way Pesach and Shavuos, the same way as Pesach and Sukkot cancel Shiva, so, and count as 7 days, and there are 7 days in them, the same way Shavuos has to count as 7 days as well.
You said about Shavuos was Makti because Yitzchak Nafka, he mentioned where it was, but he didn't bother to mention the Rebbe's.
What do you mean where it was? This is where he did it. Was Akilo de Beresh Kolosa. He did this in front of the house of the Beresh Kolosa is where he gave this to Rasha. Okay. Here's another case. Adverei the Papa of Rav Ivyas Sava Vajorash. Rav Papa took Rav Ivyas Sava and Darshan. Adverei has a few different meanings. Rashi in Beitzer explains that it means he took him for a walk and taught him this halacha while they were walking. There's a few different other explanations that Rishonim have, including that it means that he coached him to say this. He told him this halacha and coached him to say it over in public. And there's a few different other explanations of what it means. But in any case, Rav Papa taught the following din to Rav Ivyas Sava. The Darash, and then he Darshan as follows. Yom Echad Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, V'Rosh Hashanah Harei Kanabasa. By the same token, if there's one day available before Rosh Hashanah, then Rosh Hashanah cancels Shiva. Rosh Hashanah itself counts as 7 days. Harei Kanabasa. So you already have 14 days, and therefore Shloshim is short. And the Gemara continues. Amar Avinu Hilchah. Therefore, by the same logic, Yom Echad Lifnei Achag. If you have one day of Avelus of Shiva before Sukkot, the Chag, and then you have Sukkot itself is 7 days. Or Shmini Shaloi, and Shmini Atzeres is also a separate Yom Tov, and it counts as another 7 days. Harekan Esr the Echad Yom. Then you have 21 days, and therefore you only need 9 more days of Shloshim after Shmini Atzeres.
So
1 second. We're talking when Rosh Hashanah was 1 day. When Rosh Hashanah is 2 days, then fine. The second day counts as the next day. Counts the next day of Shloshim. So 1 second. Ravina Ikla was Surah de Paras. Ravina one time visited the city of Surah on the Paras River. As we learned previously, this is not the regular city of Surah that you have in most places in Shas. There's another city called Surah that happened to be located on the Paras. Omele Rav Chaviva mis Surah de Paras to Ravina. So Rav Chaviva, from there, asked Ravina, did you really say that one day before Rosh Hashanah plus Rosh Hashanah itself counts as 14 days? Is that really so? That Rosh Hashanah counts as 7 days? So Ravina tells him, I'm not mistabra. That's not actually what I said. What I said is it's logical that according to Rav Gamliel, it would work out that way. Now, an interesting point over here is we have to consider after Rosh Hashanah, the next Yom Tov is Yom Kippur. So if Shiva is canceled by Rosh Hashanah, and then Rosh Hashanah itself counts as 7 days, why aren't we considering what happens with Yom Kippur? On the face of it, we're saying that so far you have 14 days, so he needs another 16 days, but within those 16 days, you're going to have Yom Kippur. So what happens over there? So Tosfos has a discussion about it, and different Rishonim have a discussion that what happens in that case is maybe we would not say, maybe Yom Kippur would not actually cancel, maybe Yom Kippur would not actually cancel the Shloshim. It might count the 7 days of the Shloshim, fine, but it wouldn't completely cancel it. So the result would be, therefore, so what would you have? You had 14 days up to, you had 1 day before Rosh Hashanah, the Kavurah was on Erev Rosh Hashanah, therefore Shiva, Rosh Hashanah cancels Shiva. Now you have Rosh Hashanah itself, the first day counts as 7 days. Now you have, from then until Yom Kippur, you have another 8 days. So fine, so far you're up to 22, you have, or 21 actually. Yom Kippur itself would count as another 7, so that gives you 28. You still need 2 more days after Yom Kippur. The result of that would be, for example, that he wouldn't be allowed to cut his hair. We learned that forget about for parents. For parents, you have to wait until we learned before Yigaru Bar Chaver, until his friends yell at him and tell him that he looks very unkempt. But even for, and that's we said was between about 2 and 3 months. But, and by the way, Tosfos learned earlier, and we said this is La Halacha, that Yom Tov doesn't cancel or shorten that. But when we're talking about other Mesim, where you only have to wait till Shloshim to get a haircut, it would come out, according to that he would not be allowed to get a haircut before Yom Kippur, because Shloshim is not over yet. Now, on the other hand, not everybody agrees with that. That's the position of the Halachas Gedolos. Other Rishonim disagree with that concept, and they say that no, Yom Kippur would actually cancel Shloshim in that case. So in that case, then, so that could be. That's in fact one possibility. When Rav Chaviva from Surah the Pras is asking Ravina about the din that he said, it might be that part of the question he's asking is why are you only focusing on the fact that Rosh Hashanah is canceling Shiva? Why aren't you addressing what happens with the rest of Shloshim as far as Yom Kippur? So he's saying, based on what Rav Gamliel is saying, we can say that Shiva is canceled and Rosh Hashanah counts as 7 days. Not necessarily can we deduce from what he's saying about what would happen with Shloshim. Now, on the other hand, though, when it comes to, we said, as far as Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres, that's different. Because, the Rishonim explained, in order for a Yom Tov to cancel Shloshim, it has to be that at least some of the observances of Shloshim were being kept during that time. During Shloshim, as we learned previously in the Perek, there's certain things that the Ovel is still not allowed to do. He's not allowed to cut his hair. There's certain restrictions on we said on washing his clothing and wearing freshly laundered clothing. There's a couple of others. So now, to be sure he's not doing laundry and haircuts on Chalamoy, but that's not because of Avelos, that's because of Chalamoy. So if the first day of Sukkot cancels Shiva, then we cannot say that Shmini Atzeres is going to cancel Shloshim. Because he didn't keep any of the dinim of Shloshim between the Shiva and then. So Shmini Atzeres will count as 7 days, but you're still going to need the remaining days after Shmini Atzeres in order to make up the rest of Shloshim. I'd like to go a little bit further only because the next few blocks are rather large ones, So I'm going to go a bit further, especially because we have time anyway, if you don't mind. The Mishnah says, "Ein kodin v'lechotin v'lemavrin elekroiv of shomnes." Only the relatives of the mess tear kriya and do chalitza, which we talked about before, uncovering their shoulder, and do the sudas habra. The word mavrin means to have a meal. There's a few places in Tanakh where that shodesh is used to mean a meal. You have it among other things in Tilim, for example, where David says, "My yitnu b'vorusi rosh," and my enemies are putting poison into my food. And a few other psukim like that. So the word mavrin is the sodas habra, the first meal that they have after the kvura, which has to be the ovel doesn't eat it from his own. Instead, they give him food. So all of those things, only the relatives of the mess do that. Now, there are two ways of understanding that Mishnah. This Mishnah as well. Let's learn the last words of the Mishnah as well, and then we'll talk about it. The in Mavrin Elal Mitzvah Skufa, when they do the Suda Sabra, then they sit on a bed turned the right side up, unlike we said before, an Ovel has his bed turned over. Now, what are we talking about over here? There's two different understandings among the Rishonim. One is that we're talking about specifically on Chalamoyed, because after all, I mean, the subject of the Masechta is Chalamoyed. So therefore, we're not telling the dinim of Avelos in general, those you'll find mostly in Masechta Smachos, rather we're focusing on Chalamoyed. So even, in other words, for example, during the rest of the year, a person who's not required to tear Kriya could tear Kriya, but on Chalamoyed, they're not allowed to unless they're required of Yalof. And the same thing with the other things. So, according to that, it would mean that the Surah Sabra on Chol HaMoed is done on a Mitzvah Shkufa, as opposed to during the rest of the year, the bed would be turned over and they'd sit on that. That's one way of understanding. The other way of understanding is we're talking about throughout the rest of the year. And what we're talking about is, we're saying that even during the rest of the year, the Kroivim are required to do Chalitza. Or they're required to do Kriya. They're required to join in the Sudas Avra. Other people could if they want to. According to that, in Kodin, Belay Chalitza, Vein Mavrin, Ela Kroivim Shomes, does not mean other people are not allowed to join. It means they don't have to. It means the Kroivim Shomes are the ones who are required to. And according to that, the Mitzvah Skufa, and Rashi says over here, means that the Menachemim, the ones who are serving in the Sudas Avra, and being Menachem Ovel, are, they sit on a Mitzvah Skufa. The Ovel himself, according to that, would sit on an overturned bed, because we're not talking about doing Chol HaMoed, we're talking about throughout the year. But the Menachemim, they don't have to sit on the overturned bed with him, they can sit on a regular right side up bed. Okay. So the Gemara asks, when we're saying that only the, when we're saying that, that only the relatives do Kriya. So again, it can mean on Chol HaMoed only the relatives are allowed to do Kriya, or it can mean during the rest of the year only the relatives are required to do Kriya. So the Gemara says, "V'afdilu Chacham." Are you telling me that even if a Chacham, even if a Talmid Chacham passes away, then only his relatives do Kriya? V'hatanya, we learn in the Braisa, Chacham shemes hakol kreivav. When a Chacham passes away, everybody is considered his relatives. And the Gemara says, "Hakol kreivav." Sorry for that. What do I mean? Everybody's not his relatives. Ela hakol kreivav means everybody is like his relatives. Hakol kurin olav. Everybody, when they hear he passes away, has to tear kriya. Hakol chiltin olav. Everybody uncovers their shoulder. Hakol mavrin olav barachava, and everybody joins the sodas avra that's served in the city square. So we see that other people who are not relatives do that as well. Okay, the Gemara says, like, Sricha Dalab Chacham. Fine, our Mishnah is talking about where it wasn't a Chacham, it's just a regular Yid. Okay, the Gemara says, so what? The E Adam Kosheru. Still, if the person who passed away was an Adam Kosher, an Erlich Yid, the general understanding of Adam Kosher among the Rishonim is, it means the person is not Talmid Chacham, he didn't really know how to learn, but he was an Erlich Yid, he kept mitzvahs. So if he's an Adam Kosher, Chiyuvim Mechayev Lemikra, wouldn't they still have a Chiyuv to Teo Kriya for him? Anybody who hears that he passed away, the Tanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, why does it happen in Rahman Rufan that a person's young children pass away? The reason is, Kidei Sheyiv Gavis Abel Al Adam Kosher, in order that he should cry and mourn for an Adam Kosher. What does that mean? It sounds like you're saying that his children pass away now in order that in the future he should be doing the right thing. What does that mean? Yivka v'yisavol, erbona koshakom. What does it mean? Is Hashem taking a pledge from him? I'm taking your children from you now so that later on you'll do the right thing. Hashem doesn't work that way. Ella, what it means is nature like bacha v'yisavol al adam kosher. It means because he did not cry and mourn when an adam kosher passed away, therefore Hashem causes him sometimes to lose his children. In the future he will also. But the point is, because in the past he didn't, so therefore, because when a person cries and mourns for an Adam Kosher who passed away, then Hashem forgives him for all of his avedus, because of the kavod that he did for him. So we see that on the face of it, there's a chiyuv of kriya for an Adam Kosher as well. Now, with that said, though, the Ramban says that this chiyuv of kriya for an adam kosher would apply to a regular person who hears about it, but not necessarily to a talmid chacham. The same way as, for example, let's say a talmid chacham does not have to stand up for somebody who's not a talmid chacham. By the same token, the Ramban says a chacham would not necessarily have to tear kriya for an adam kosher. He might have to find. It can be boicho misabel. It can be crying and mourning that an adam kosher passed away, but not to actually have to tear his clothes. Anyway, the question is, again, our Mishnah said that only the relatives tear their clothes. What we see over here, that an Adam Kosher, yes, you're supposed to as well. Okay, the answer is a lot of Adam Kosher. Well, fine, let's say he wasn't an Adam Kosher. He was an Amoritz, let's say. And he wasn't that careful with mitzvahs. So the question then is, I can give you a third case where a person is chayev to tear his clothes even when it's not an Adam Kosher. Namely, if he was there when the person passed away, then he's chayev to tear. When a person is standing there when a yid passes away, chayav the kriya, then he's obligated to tear his clothes. Even if the guy wasn't a talmid chacham or anything, or even if it wasn't an adam kosher. What is this like? The sefer Torah shenisra, chayav the kriya. It's like a sefer Torah that was burnt, which we're going to learn later on, and above, that a person is required to tear kriya for such a thing. So therefore, the same way over here, every yid is like a sefer Torah. Even they didn't learn Torah, even they didn't do much in the way of keeping mitzvahs, but for it, it's like a sefer Torah that was burned, that you have to tear kriya. So therefore, so you see that there's a case also where a non-relative tears kriya. Now, one thing that says on that in Shulchan Aruch is that a limitation on that would be if the guy was a mummer, if he was a mummer, whether the chalat or the kolo for one particular mitzvah, then you don't necessarily have the schiyuv that we're talking about over here. Again, according to the Ramban, we're not necessarily talking about that a Talmid Chacham would have to do this anyway. Nowadays, you don't often find that people tear such kriya when they're there b'shas yitzias mishav. So the Geshur HaChayim talks about it. He says that maybe we'll make on it, because otherwise people aren't going to want to be there. Who's going to want to be there if they know that they have to rip their clothes at the time? On the other hand, Reb Moshe Feinstein says that that's a weakish reason to not tear it. And he says that actually, yeah, even for example, a doctor on duty in the hospital, when a patient, if it's a Jewish patient, passes away, he would have to tear through there. Except Reb Moshe says, fine, he doesn't have to tear maybe a full kriya, he just tears like the bottom edge of his garment or something. I guess in the case of the doctors, many times they're wearing scrubs that are not their own, and when a person is wearing clothes that are not their own, maybe they don't stay with them, but that would be something else. What were you going to say?
What about a regular person? He tears, and then later on at the Levi, he's going to tear again. Any problem?
The Bash is not, huh? Maybe right here. Anyway. So the question is, again, the Mishnah had said that only the relatives have to tear, but we see an example here where a person is there b'shas yitzias neshama, when the neshama leaves the body and he has to tear. The answer is, okay, deloy koyahos and b'shas yitzias neshama. Okay, let's say he wasn't there at the time of yitzias neshama. So then, in that case, if the person who passed away was not an adam kosher, and is not, then unless it's a relative, then you don't have to tear for you. So the Gemara gives an example. When Rav Safra passed away, the Chachamim of that time did not tear kriya. Amri, because they said, like Amri, the Chachamim bubble said we didn't learn Torah from him, therefore we shouldn't be required to tear kriya. Amru Abaya, so Abaya says, Mitanya Harab Shemes. Before, when we quoted the Brisa, we said Chacham Shemes. Didn't say a Rab, which would imply somebody that you learned Torah from. Chacham Shemes, Tanya. It says a Chacham. He was a Talmud Chacham, so you have to. Anyway, you're saying you didn't learn Torah from him directly. Maybe not, but all the time we're quoting statements of his all the time in the Beis Medrash. Throughout the Gemara, you have many statements of Rav Safra. Therefore, that should be reason enough. Now, the obvious question is, shouldn't they have to tear kriya at least for the fact that he's an Adam Kosher? So in fact, that may be a support that Ramban brings that as a support for his shita, that Talmid Chachamim are not required to tear kriya for an Adam Kosher. So therefore, they're saying, we're Talmid Chachamim, so therefore, maybe we're not obligated to that. And obviously, we're also talking about they weren't there, b'shas yitzias neshama. They weren't there when he passed away. They only heard about it afterwards. So, now they hadn't torn kriya. Sover mai dahava hava. So they figured, okay, what's done is done. We didn't tear kriya at the time when we heard it, so therefore, we don't have to now. Amalahu Abaya, so Abaya tells them, Tanena, no, we learn in a Braisa, Chacham calls Mansha, Uskin the Hesped, Chayav and the Kriya. As long as they're involved with the Hesped of the Talmud Chacham, then they have to tear Kriya. So therefore, you're still on the hook for it. Sovril and Mikra of Alta, so they figured right then when Abaya told them that, they should right away tear Kriya. Amalahu Abaya, so Abaya tells them, no, wait up. Tanya, Chacham, Kvodi, the Hespedai, for a Chacham, the covered is that you do Kriya at the time of his Hesped. So wait until they're doing the Hesped for Rav Safra, and then you'll tear Kriya. Okay. And then the Gemara is going to go on. We'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with talking about what about events that happen at the Levayas of different great Talmud Chacham, different great Amoroi. We'll continue with that tomorrow, Bez Hashem.